Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
You know, how many of you are 43 years old and younger? Can I see your hands? Okay, why don't you all stand? What is he doing? This is the guy that oversees the president? What is he doing? Okay, because Pastor Bruce and I had worked together in ministry for 43 years. Yes, so just a visual. I just needed to encourage myself by the fact the great churches that are going to change the world are younger churches. And you can give yourselves a hand as you're seated. You could do that. Heaven's applauses on your behalf. You can stand for the whole service, but I would recommend that you be seated. I'm going to introduce you to my family. So why don't we roll through this? This is an Every Nation thing that people do. There we go. Okay. That's okay. We start with this. So my wife and I have been married 44 years. We've been married 24 years happily, and 20 additional years wonderfully, all right? Actually, we've had a lot of fights, and the more you fight, the more your marriage gets right. Don't bury issues. Do communicate them. All right, so this is my three grown daughters. This is the wedding a couple of years ago of my youngest daughter, Mari. She's in real estate. This is my middle girl. She's not married. She actually counsels marriage. She's a therapist, a counselor, a high-level person, and I think she's counseled so many married couples and read so many books and had so much education. She's not married yet because she's afraid to get married. It's just so many problems. This is my oldest daughter, Naomi, our firstborn. She's 43. I don't know why I'm telling you their ages. I don't think they would appreciate that. But anyway, she just gave us our youngest grandchild. You won't see his picture because I don't have one. He's too young. It's a long story. She's given us three grandchildren, along with Pastor Billy Lyle. How many of you know who Pastor Billy Lyle is? I think he was here once. Okay, how many of you don't know who he is? Okay, so how many of you don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, these are three of my grandchildren right here, three of the four. Okay, she's eight. Who is that? Okay, that's McKenna, Madison, and Micah. All right, and for those of you that are athletes, I need to brag, my grandson is a baller. He's a basketball player, shortest person in the Interscholastic League of Honolulu. He plays for Iolani School, that will probably one of the three schools that will battle for the state championships. As a sophomore, the coach pulled him up. I would imagine they warmed the bench because they have guys like that are 6'5", 6'6", on the starting team. But he can shoot and handle the ball, and that's very important for you to know. Because Pastor Bruce was once a great basketball player. Okay, Felix thinks he's good, but I think Bruce in his prime could take him. Felix, are you here? Where's Felix?
He's in the Chinese service.
He's in the Chinese? Why is he in the Chinese service? I was gonna reintroduce the dance we did yesterday. That's a long story. If you want to know, Felix and I danced together yesterday in the leader's session. And if you can imagine Felix dancing with me, then you have a very vivid imagination, but it actually did happen. Okay, so let's move on here. This is us before Pastor Bruce and Terry said yes to Taiwan. We were cheering a new mission. How many of you are glad they're here? Yeah. Amen. What else are you going to say when I ask you a trick question like that? All right, do we have any more pictures? Is that it? That's it. Oh, here we are. Okay. Yeah, well, are we going to... Okay, that's Pastor Steve. Okay, that's me. This is Pastor Paris. We call him Bishop Paris Hayashi. That's Pastor Billy Lau, my son-in-law who married my oldest daughter. About 2 years and 3 months ago, I transitioned the church. I founded it. I pastored it for 27 and a half years. It's called Pearlside Church. And because we have multiple locations, Pastor Paris, Bishop Paris, who was once my junior high student, I used to be a school teacher in a former life. He's the bishop who oversees all the locations, executive oversight pastor. I'm called the founding pastor, expansion pastor. I now train and coach younger pastors to plant new works. Pastor Billy Lau is our main spiritual leader. He pastors the main congregation, okay, and that's a huge undertaking because it's a large church. And so he is the point man, the point spiritual leader. Pastor Paris would be, if you can think of administration and buildings and property acquisition, that would be Bishop Paris Hayashi. So I now work for them who used to work for me. I've transitioned out, and now I want to help churches like you. I want to help churches like you grow, be healthy, be holy, and expand and reach your city. And this is a great, great city. This is a great privilege for me to be here. And so this is a snapshot there. There I am in the middle. And now you know who they are and the structure of it is. My main one mission in every nation is to help expand. I am the head of the oversight team, but to clearly make it clear to you, all my only job is to give input to our president when he needs it, and to evaluate his performance yearly. I do it with a team of people. I just happen to be the chair, that's all. It's a job no one wanted. It's the one no one desired. And so I just grudgingly said yes. It's not because I'm anybody special or good or talented. So I'm just one of you. How many of you think I look Chinese? Because everywhere I go, people just randomly come up, talk to me. And they tell me things like, are you Chinese? How do you start a conversation like that? I'm not, I'm Japanese. Okay, but actually I'm a Christian. And when we go to heaven, will that matter? We're not gonna go, hey, are you Japanese? Hey, are you Samoan? Hey, what church did you go to? It won't happen. It won't matter. Because we're all part of one body and we are in the beginning phase of a next awakening and a revival that will hit every place on the planet. I was asked to come and share with you what I feel like God's put on my heart, that's from His heart to you. What would a 30-year-old church tell a 15-year-old church? And that's what I'm going to tell you, because I was asked to tell you that. So here's what I'm going to tell you. We are only going to be here for a couple of hours this morning in this sermon. So just encourage yourself. Our text this morning is in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Jesus is in a conversation where the scribes are trying to trick him. They were always trying to entrap Jesus. And we pick up the conversation. One of the scribes came up and asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. What is most important in life is to love God with our entire being. Would you agree with that? That's clear. But in reality, we have one life to live because we all live eternally from the time we were conceived in the womb. Eternal life begins in the womb. We just separate life in heaven, if we were to pass today, and life on earth. In reality, life is one continuum. The question is, where will we spend our one God-given life as we move through the continuum, past this life? Will we be with Him or apart from Him in eternal darkness? Will we be in heaven or hell? Many people don't like to mention the word hell. It is incomprehensible, it's uncomfortable, it's agitating, it's irritating, and yet Scripture talks a lot about hell. It could be argued that hell is mentioned more than heaven. And so, in vernacular, at least in the West, people, they say, I'm going to say things that may offend you, but that's part of who I am, as Pastor Bruce will tell you. In the West, it's common for people to say, where the hell were you? What the hell were you thinking? What the hell are you doing? See how common that is? Why don't they say, where the heaven are you going? What the heaven were you thinking? Right? Think about that. People are more comfortable with the word and the concept of hell than they are of heaven. But here's what Scripture says in Ecclesiastes. He's put eternity in all of our hearts because we are all made in God's image. We are all meant to know Him and to have a relationship with Him. Over the years, I've gotten to know a man named Don Piper. He is the author of the great New York Times best-selling book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, from which there was a movie made. How many of you have read the book or heard of 90 Minutes in Heaven? Okay. If you haven't read the book, it's an easy read. I would recommend you read it. He was a Baptist minister in 1989 on his way to speak at a conference, Baptists who don't believe in divine healing, who don't believe in visions and trips to heaven. He got into a massive traffic accident with an 18-wheel trailer, smashing in on a wet road into his car, mangling his body, and severing his arm and throwing it across the street. He was dead for 90 minutes. He was dead for 90 minutes on the side of the road. They had covered his body. The family was being called in. He was dead. There's dead and there's good and dead. He was good and dead. During those 90 minutes, Don Piper would visit heaven, and the Lord would take him on a tour of where we go if we were to pass today. Ultimately, at the end, we know in the book of Revelation, on a new heavens and new earth, heaven, the new heaven comes down to earth. But that's not where we would, that's not this case today if you and I were to pass, or we have loved ones who pass. So what I'm saying is, during that time, he describes the incredible thing we get to look forward to. He says, you know, the streets are really, I wasn't trying to trick you, I promise. The streets are really made of transparent gold. There are subdivisions and there are communities. There are cities. You can eat all you want. When you communicate, you really don't have to talk. All the things that you've heard about or theorized about in the past, he says, you know, Norman, it's true. And you never want to leave. And he thought he was in heaven for good. He had come to the realization that he had passed. And then after 90 minutes, the Lord said to him, I'm going to send you back. And he said he struggled mightily because he knew if he would come back, he would be in a mangled body. It would take time to heal. But poof. When God says you're going back, you're going back. So he says, I came back and I didn't like it. My wife and I were spending some time with he and his wife, and she said for 2 years he was in a depression and lived in perpetual anger because he was upset at God for taking him from heaven where he had crossed the threshold and putting him back in a body that was mangled. He would go through 2 years and 39 surgeries. He began to demonstrate the body parts on him, show us the scars over dinner. I said, not helping, Don. That's pretty gross. Okay. He says, this is the press button kind, yeah. He says, I want to show you where they reattach my arm. And it was just incredible. It was just also very gross. And he says, here's why the Lord sent me back. He says, I'm coming soon. And I want you to tell my people they're forgetting about reaching the lost who don't know my son. They're doing a lot of things. In heaven, we'll be able to worship forever. We'll learn about the eternal word forever. We'll fellowship forever. We'll eat a lot. But there's one thing you'll never be able to do in heaven because it will be too late, and that is to prepare people for ultimate eternity and getting their lives right with God. And your job till I bring you home again, is to remind my body of their mission that they've forgotten. That's why I'm here. That's really why I'm here. I have one word for you today. And by the way, what I found out, I'm going to be 70 next month. I know I look 40. But actually, my wife will tell me, actually, you think like a teenager, which gives her great concern. When we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord put in my spirit, remember Job who prayed for his friends. Nobody suffered like Job. Don Piper said he could relate to Job. Job prayed for friends who judged him and criticized him in his suffering. And when he prayed for his friends, God healed him. Friends who thought they knew God, but did not truly know God. And for some of you, the Lord wants you to know, when you begin to reach and touch others and get off of just asking God to meet your need, God will meet your need. And when you do what he wants you to do beyond yourself, God will bring you to a place of your desire. That's the word I want to drop in you. Great worship, but we just don't live in worship. We go from worship to the world to reach people far from God. If Don Piper were here, and he's been with our congregation twice, he would tell you this ad nauseum. In other words, he would tell you this till you're tired of hearing it. And he said, Norman, I have suffered way too much to be way too tactful and sensitive. So he can't be here, so I'm here. And I'm just here to tell you, every nation, Taipei City, make it your mission to reach people who don't yet know Jesus. We never know when he's going to return. You never know when your time will expire. And you'll never know when your friends and family and work colleagues and classmates will expire. COVID taught me one thing. I did way too many funerals, way too early for people in the prime of their lives. And we must live with a sense of urgency and refuse to remain in stagnancy and complacency. Can I hear an amen from you? All right, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, now, there's a movie, there's a book, and it was an engaging conversation. He says, when you get to heaven, there's a standing applause and a throng of friends and family and people you never knew you impacted who will greet you at the gates of entry. Don't you look forward to that? That's going to be a great time. Some people will have thousands. Some people will have one. Which will you be? So God's called us. He's called us to start with one. And then from there, you'll get addicted. You won't just stop at one. So what's the second? If the first commandment is to love God with our entire being, what is second most important in life is to love those God put near us. In Mark, in verse 31, let's revisit that first. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul says, through love one another, for the whole law, say whole law, is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So neighbor in the original language means those who are literally next to us, near us, or around us. And obeying the second commandment fulfills all commandments. Think about that. Think about that. In other words, you can only fulfill the first commandment by fulfilling the second commandment. It's profound. It is. It is simple yet profound. And God will put us in position. We just need to respond. So, but the question I ask you, and we're almost going to close. The question I'm going to ask you is this. Who has God put near you, next to you, in front of you, behind you, and around you? Because that's not an accident. Out of that will be one person or one family that's your current assignment. And if you ask God for their salvation, he will give it to you because that's his will. His heart breaks to reach people. Jesus said, I came to seek and save what was lost. I came to save the lost. I came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. And we have to understand when we're here, why do we have church? Why are we the church? Why am I a believer? Why am I here in this city at such a time as this? When you answer your why, you'll find out what God's win is, and you'll know your way forward and your next step. Don Piper says, too many Christians today live for themselves. They like deeper Bible study. They talk about using their gifts in the church. They talk about doing many great things in the church with Christians. But he says, I came back with great suffering and traveled the world to remind the church of her mission to fulfill the second great commandment by which they will fulfill the first great commandment. The book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and the movie has made millions and millions of dollars. And he said, I have not touched a penny. I could, but I choose not to prostitute my experience of being taken to heaven for 90 minutes. We don't like to think of eternity, but we must because we're all eternal beings. Let me ask that question again. Who has God put next to you? Near you, in front of you, behind you, and around you, where you go to school, where you go to work, when you're with your family. what you will find is among them, one of them will emerge as the one that the Lord wants you to build a bridge to over time and reach with the gospel. And he will make a way. He will make a way. Because that becomes your why. I'm not saying everything else in church is important. Not important. It is. For example, you do need drums. I was once a very average professional drummer. And if you have a bass player, drums and bass go together. I believe that worship is important. I have a big story. I have so many things that you can talk to the leaders in the men's ministry about the stories I told them. And that will lead to dancing with Felix. Okay? So all of that's legitimate. So arguably, they said it was the first drummer in Hawaii. I was saved at the peak of the last revival back in the early 70s. And I was the first, they said I was the first drummer to be introduced to play drums in worship in Hawaii. And they said I was responsible to train drummers in Japan because Japanese like to copy Americans and do it better. And so back in 1982, I took a band, a ministry team up and down for 32 days. I preached 32 days, 32 times in 32 days. Japanese work you to death. And I played the drums 32 times. And the pastors were most impressed with my drum playing, and they said, can you train young people in our church to play the drums? Everywhere I went, that was the one. They didn't care about what I preached. They didn't care about the worship, my preaching. They just wanted me to teach them the drums. That's my legacy. Why am I saying that to you? Just to bring a balance to the fact. I'm not here to pound you with evangelism. I'm saying there are other things that are important, but that's not the most important thing. Today, it's the second most important thing. You need to get drums, okay? Who's the brother who was over here banging on the cajon?
Ethan.
Where you at? His name's Ethan? Can he play the drums?
Yes.
Can he play the drums?
Yes.
Okay. Then every drummer has drums. Ethan, do you have drums?
Yeah.
You got drums?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, just I needed to get that off my chest. That was the other thing I told Pastor Bruce that was clearly in my spirit. I'm going to show you who God has put me with and near in this season, right? In fact, it's been 20 years of it. I'll show you a picture of this. These guys, they're all former professional football players in the National Football League, all of them. We have two Polynesians on the end. This is the University of Hawaii football coaching cadre. This is near the top guys. This is Isaac Sopoaga. Who at 6 feet, 3 inches tall and 325 pounds could, from a standing position back in college when he played for the University of Hawaii, do a 360-degree windmill dunk. Some people have all the genetics. Forget that guy. This is Timmy Chang, Chinese, Hawaiian, the only Asian head football coach in American college football. He set the college record for passing until somebody broke it by playing more games. And so he's the head coach. And then this is Chris Brown, former champion bodybuilder, powerlifter. He played for the Baltimore Ravens over in the National Football League and was an All-America football player out of the University of Hawaii. These are my brothers. These are my friends. And then look how ridiculous I look standing next to them. All of them are young enough to be my son. But these are the people God puts me in. When I was a chaplain for the University of Hawaii football team for many years, these were players. Now the generational clock has turned. Now I'm just the coach's chaplain. And they can't get rid of me. And we're looking at each other. They look at me and say, dude, you got old. And I look back at them. I said, dude, you got old. I said, we're all getting older together. But here's one thing we have in common. We work with young college students. Campus ministry is very important because you shape lives that are going to say yes to Jesus, serve in the ministry or as a campus missionary or in the marketplace, but they're going to have a mentality for reaching people far from God. That's important. That's important. And here's what you need to know about these guys. They don't yet know the Lord. That's why I'm there. And they want me there. You know why I'm there? Because I worked hard at being their friend. Then I became their chaplain around the table. And we meet every week for small group, and around the table are other coaches, and most of them don't know God. Because if they all knew God and had a church, I wouldn't be there. Because there's no need for me to be there. They know the Lord. But these are my neighbors. These are my brothers. And when I'm done preaching here, they play their next football game. I turned down speaking to the football team and coaches to be with you. Yeah, and some of you are sitting there going, yeah, well, so why are you telling us that? Right? Not helping. I'm here because I feel like the Lord said, you be here instead of there. Not to say that after this is done, we're going to get online. Why am I saying this also is the University of Hawaii football team is one of three universities with Division I college football teams. That's the top level where there's a revival of the gospel happening. Ohio State, Boise State, and the University of Hawaii. And it's spilling out into the city. You know why that happens? They all start talking to the people near them, next to them, and around them, their teammates and co-coaches about Jesus. And people start accepting the Lord and getting baptized. But if we never share with anybody and get the truth out of our hearts and our mouths, that will never happen. So I ask you again, Every Nation Taipei City Church, who has God put near you and around you? Who's that neighbor? Okay? And then we'll close with this. The greatest love we can give to others is God's love through the gospel of Christ. The greatest love, Pastor Bruce alluded to this in his anointed announcements. Let me read the scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Think about that. His only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have again eternal life. All of us have eternal life. It's just at the end of life where we'll spend eternity. That should sober us up. That's why we need to be familiar with we can't turn away from the reality of hell. We can't. We must see if the gospel is good news, there is bad news. And we cannot live out an incomplete gospel where we only look at the good news and forget about the bad news, because if we forget about the bad news, we'll forget to love our neighbor. So Jesus, he wants us to share him and himself, the living gospel and the written word, that gospel with others. And God wants this to be our eternal legacy. You know, I'm going to be 70 next month, and I think about legacy. So we've got our trust all set, where all of our assets are going to go to our kids and our grandkids. What happened? I mean, in other words, I'm ready to die. And the whole key is to die empty. Die, give it all. That's what Jesus did. He gave it all. It is finished. It is finished. But he just pretty much handed the baton to us and said, now you have the next leg. Till I return again, till heaven and hell reigns, church, you have the baton. And so Jesus came and said, these were among his last words, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Wow. That's really clear. You know, what someone says as their last words become their most important words. I think about when I'm going to die. I said, what would I tell my wife? What would I tell the church that I used to pastor? What would I tell the brothers I'm closest to? This is probably what I would tell them. We know where we're going. Do you know where they're going? Because we make the difference and we fill the gap. And God has made it very clear in his two greatest commandments and his parting words what our marching orders are. And like I said, we can do many things, but sometimes we miss the main things. I had a chance to spend time with Rick Warren about 6 months ago. How many of you know who Rick Warren is? Purpose-driven life guy from Saddleback. Rick Warren is passionate about this. And so he's given the rest of his life to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And when his dad passed, he thought he was gone, and he all of a sudden, you know, he had a moment of clarity. I've seen both my parents have this when they passed. And he got up. One more. One more, Rick. one more. And here's my challenge I'm going to give to you. And I believe it's part of his prophetic, that within the next 12 months, you ask God for one person to win to Christ and to disciple, to add to your small group. Just one. How many of you have the faith for that? Knowing God's already put near you, in front of you, behind you, and around you, that person or that family. I would suggest to you that person has friends and family, and with them is a people group. So you now open the door to a nation, which is what that word nation means, it's a people group. Think of the possibilities that if every church in Taipei did that, each one reach one in the next year. Do you know why we don't see that happening? Christians don't pray that. Rick Warren said, there's one thing, we're having lunch, this is one thing both Christians and non-Christians share alike. They hate evangelism. Why is that? We don't like to be disliked, we like to be liked, we like to be popular, we like to be nice, but is that really God's love? Jesus was crucified for being the truth. And he gives us the assignment to share that truth. But he's going to help us. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is one version. In Mark 16, we read, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, don't try that at home. It will not hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And I will say to you, we make disciples one life at a time. But here's the deal. God promises to be with us. We can't save anybody. But without us, he won't save anybody. He's invited us into a sovereign partnership where by his Spirit and a work of grace he begins in people's hearts, he brings truth through our lives as human vessels to touch and to disciple another human vessel. Let me say this again. I give you a challenge from our president. Each one reach one within the next year. 12 months. Make that a goal. Make that your prayer. And then just look. Just look. You know, I look and I showed you the picture of who I'm around. When you pray, get ready, because my problem is which one? Because I've got several. And I'm trying to say, Lord, which one is the priority? And that's really, just when I think I got clarity, it's kind of like God saying, well, they're all a priority. I love them all. No, I said, Lord, I don't have that time. Which one should I really focus on? So let's throw that picture up again. Can we throw that picture up again? Because I don't want to preach to you what I don't live. I don't want to preach to you what I haven't lived as a believer for over 50 years. Okay, and I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a great, great leader. I'm not, you know, anything special. I just said, okay, I'm going to work on a person at a time. And over time, it just compounds. It's like money, compound interest. So let's put up their picture again. I've gotten really close with this guy. And in his family, there was a demonic encounter. And he was freaking out, as big as he is. So I was able to talk with him about dealing with that. I mean, real life demons, where the person actually attacked him, like you see in the movies. Nothing like a good attack to open you up to Jesus and get a word. And by the way, the University of Hawaii football team is losing. They're losing games but winning souls. That's hard for me. I want to be winning souls and winning games. But how many of you know that around you, if you're thinking about who to reach, it's people that feel like they're losing in life that would be most open to God? Think about that, okay? Or it's the head coach, Timmy Chang. Very close to them. But I'm thinking to myself, which one will cross the line first? This is the head coach. This is the senior associate head coach. And right now, that's the tension. That's the tension. But it's a great tension to have. You know why? Because it keeps me dialed into the Holy Spirit. And every time, and there's more people, when I hang around lost people, my faith grows, miracles happen, because the Bible says these signs shall follow those who believe. The problem with Christians, they want to go follow signs for themselves. You want to see miracles, signs and wonders. Let God use you in relational evangelism. Pray for Him to show up, to heal people, touch people, and deliver people, and you will see, bang, great stuff happen. That's for those of you who are sleeping. Don't you dare fall asleep. That's what happens. I forgot to press the button. The one time I was supposed to press the button when I yelled, I forgot. And when I'm not supposed to press the button, I press the button. Okay, let's close. Let's close. One of the great stories I share with you is in 2001 to 2007, I was called to the hospital by a desperate woman who knew people in our church. Her boyfriend at the time had drowned. So he was in intensive care, put on the rotating spindle like a piece of barbecue. The doctor said, he's done. There's no hope. So I prayed, what will be last rites? And then they said, we're going to keep him here for a week. 1 week later, I went back, right, to check. Because you want to touch the family. You want to minister to the family. And the people at Queen's Hospital said, oh, he was discharged. It was a real miracle. He actually recovered. I said, wait, his name is Ed Onishi. I said, no, wait. He was done. I said, check again. His name is Edward K. Onishi. He said, yeah, that's the guy. He was supposed to die, but he did it. And he recovered, and it's amazing. He's out. I said, he's not even here. His family's not here. I'm supposed to be here. Now he's out. He got discharged. Long story short, I meet him at the police station. I know nothing about him up till now. His girlfriend, and I would marry them afterwards and would become his wife. He sit down, he looks at me, and he goes, I know you. You're supposed to lead me to God. Talk about an assignment. I'm thinking, who is this guy? Apart from a body on a barbecue spindle in ICU. And he said, well, let me tell you my story. He says, I was the lead drug runner for Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Ray Charles. And then there was a list of musicians. I was like, right. And he said, when I died, God came to me and said, it's not your time. I want to use you. But you're going to meet this guy, and he's going to tell you how to get into the city of light. So he goes, tell me how I'm supposed to get. I don't want to go to that other place. And I shared with him the gospel, and he got saved. And then he said, you know, I'm on borrowed time. So discipleship began. I'm on borrowed time. He says, I'm supposed to die four times. I've been through a huge shootout. We all know about that shootout in Hawaii. It was 311 bullets by 24 officers trying to take him down. Because this guy had done it all the crime, the worst crimes. He always evaded arrest. They finally got him that day. I was supposed to have died then. I've been stabbed, I've been shot, I've been hanged five times, and I've been thrown out of an apartment window. He says it's four floors. I said, I don't know, maybe it was the drugs. I was a drug dealer. I used it, but I realized dealing it is big money. So he made huge, huge money until he got caught and spent 33 years in federal prison. That was a younger picture of him, by the way. He was such a gift of leadership in the prison in Oahu. The governor of Oahu, his name was Benjamin Cayetano, commuted his sentence secretly in an unusual exception because he was creating criminal rings within the prison in Oahu on Hawaii. And he said, Norman, that was the best thing he could have done because by that time, all of my channels outside the walls were burnt. Fortunately, I had a skill of carpentry I learned. And I could make a living, and I had my girlfriend. And thank God for her, because of her, I met you, and I know Jesus. God will help us. You know, for those of you who are freaking out and going, oh no, I need to read books on how to make friends, you know, I need to know how to make relations. God will help you, okay, God will help you. You'd be surprised how much love you have in your heart. And God will open the door for somebody. So then I find out, he said, well, that was one miracle. The other miracle is the body we found was riddled with cancer when he came in. And he doesn't have any cancer at all. We can't find it. So not only did God bring him back from the threshold of death, God healed him of cancer. They opened him up back then, they closed him up. They said, forget it, he's done. He has no cancer. But he looked at me, he says, listen, I know I'm on borrowed time. In 7 years, he reached as many people as he could for Jesus. Because drug dealers at that level know how to make friends. They know how to connect. They know how to make you believe that you're their friend when really you're not their friend. But he used what he learned as a dealer for the sake of the gospel. In 2007, he was sharing his testimony and exhorting at one of our locations, which essentially was a church Pastor Bruce used to pastor for 4.5 years, on an Easter, and many people came to the Lord. We put him on video in a previous Easter and had the actual surgeon and oncologist testify to the fact that he's supposed to be dead. And today, he's a big shot in Hawaii. He was in his 40s back then. Today, he's about as old as I am. He's over lots of things in Hawaii. 1 month later, in 2007, after sharing at the church Pastor Bruce used to pastor, he ended up in the hospital not feeling well. I visited him. And he said, like I said, I'm on borrowed time. I've died before. And I'm not afraid to go. We cracked some jokes, laughed. I prayed for him. I didn't think he would pass. 2 days later, I got the call. Ed Onishi has died. His wife, who was his girlfriend back then, cried. But I knew when I went to see him, this time he was good in bed. But he is alive. There were two celebrations of life made for him. He went to work when he got healed at this place called the Job Corps, where you take wayward young people and turn their lives around by teaching them the trade of carpentry and construction. He became an icon there. And so many families and parents, they were so grateful for a man who had helped turn incorrigibles around. I don't know about you, most people just have one celebration of life. Generally, drug dealers don't have celebrations of life, much less two of them. And Edward K. Onishi waltzed into heaven to this day, because they said he died of natural causes, not cancer, not from complications of the drowning. They said it was just a natural death. He died at the age I am now. But he died leaving a legacy of having lived, loving his neighbor, fulfilling the second great commandment, living out the Great Commission the best that he could. And I just pray, my prayer today is that every nation church Taipei city, you would win your city one life at a time. You'd be surprised if you do the math. Let's just say you have 130 people now. In 12 months, it's 260. Then the next year, it's 520. Then the next year, it's 1,040, and so on. Compound interest. You say, did Jesus give us a mission that was impossible? Absolutely not. It's more than possible if we just obey what his word says. How many of you are up for that? I'm not an evangelist, okay? I'm a regular guy. I'm known in Hawaii as a person who's a developer of leaders, but I'm not an evangelist. I struggle with the same insecurities that you do, but here's what I've learned. Jesus was a friend of sinners. If we do the same, the rest comes easy. Because people know you, they trust you, and your heart grows. Young pastors ask me quite often, what is it through your career that you love the most? They think it's preaching, speaking at conferences, they think it's leading, having led a large church. I tell them, that's easy. It's leading one person across the line of faith to know Jesus. And they're always surprised. I said, you know, pastors, hear me. Never graduate from that. There's no such thing that all you do is preach and organize, counsel, and equip. Because the church exists to penetrate the gates of hell and become a gate to heaven. That's what Don Piper would tell you. The gates are really made of pearl. There really is an entry. And I believe the church is to provide that entry. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Father, I pray that the gospel would resound from this church. That from one life at a time, each one reach one each year, we will see in a large city, in a strategic location, at an epoch of time that is very sensitive, that you would cause this church to grow, to multiply, to be known as a church that loves their neighbor, to be a church that embraces people far from God, to be a place that's safe where the presence of God and the power of God come together and people's lives are transformed and changed. Oh God, there's such a presence here in worship that the world so desperately needs, but they will never discover it unless we go into all the world. All this city, make us this people, cause our hearts to drip with the tears of salvation for the gospel which you died for, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.